Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered. With great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
This week's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our friends at Cameron Hughes Wine. You might be saying, Chaps, I know you're on the wagon, my friend. What are you doing talking about wine? This is what I'm talking about, wine. My wife still loves wine. She drinks wine every night. And we got a big-ass shipment of Cameron Hughes Wine, and she loved it. She loved it so much that she used our same damn promo code to order it for my mother-in-law, for my mama, for my daddy, for everybody in my family that loves wine. My Aunt Susan, Susan's getting it. She's getting the Cameron Hughes wine. You guys got to get your wine, too, because she says it's full body. Not just full body, but it runs the whole damn gamut. Like, when you get these wines, you're going to get it from white to a deep full body red, my friend. And it's not just a regular white. It's a crisp. It's a clean. It's even sometimes buttery. That's right, crisp and buttery at the same time, which I don't even know if you can do it, but Cameron Hughes somehow managed to pull it off. With Cameron Hughes Wine, you can find fantastic qualities of wine at everyday prices, like $50 bottle for just $15. You find the needle in the haystack when you get a good wine. Every single needle in this damn haystack is a good damn wine. Cameron Hughes Wine, you know you're getting the best. You're getting luxury wine at affordable prices, and it's guaranteed. Not many wine places guaranteed it, because once you pop that bottle, you can't put the cork back in it, my friends. You cannot do it. But Cameron Hughes, if you don't like it, they'll put the money back in your wallet. You'll get free shipping on three or more bottles with a free sommelier-grade corkscrew. That's pretty important. This is a great deal to try. If you don't like wine already, this is a great way to start with good wine at a discounted price. Free shipping is a huge saving. Wine is heavy. I don't know if you ever felt a full wine bottle, but it's heavy. They're going to give you free shipping. That's part of it. Because if you go with other wine clubs, you might be paying like $20 in shipping. Not worth it. Go to chwine.com. Use the promo code zero right now. That's chwine.com. And enter the code zero. The holidays are here, so go to chwine.com. Get some good-ass wine. Let's go. We have our big week. I would say this is becoming like an annual tradition that this is a big game, not just for Army, Navy. Big week for Army, Navy. Big week for Zero Block 30.
Yeah, it's a very cool thing, and I always like having you here.
It's always fun to be here. Yeah. Brendan's in the studio as well.
Even though I don't like at all what you're wearing.
I am wearing completely, shout out to my mans, Austin at Under Armour, who sent me a bunch of the Blue Angel shit. I am rocking it. Everybody's been complimenting me all day, saying how handsome I look in this electric blue. I can't agree with them more. We have a big, big show lined up for you guys today. We have the boys from Part of My Take. We have Big Cat and PFT. We have Angelo Palantonio, played by Roan, our boy Roan from Barstool Sports. We have the New England Patriot, Joe Cardona, the Pittsburgh Steeler, Alejandro Villanueva, and we have a Showtime guest that is doing a documentary this year on Navy football. Huge, huge show for us. But before we get into that, I wanted to talk a little bit about President Trump's teeth.
Okay, let's go. Let's go right into it.
I think, remembering back whenever you had, did you guys do boards like NCO of the quarter?
Were
you
involved? Oh, yeah. Oh, I wasn't involved with it, but we did.
Okay,
them. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I wasn't sure about, if officers are involved, because
no.
They're not involved for us.
No,
it's all enlisted and decides it. All I could think about the entire time that I watch, and Brendan, I want you to pipe in the clip of it. Let's listen to the clip of President Trump talking with what I think is his dentures falling out. Mm. Here we go.
Ourselves to a path of mutual understanding and respect. Let us rethink old assumptions and open our hearts and minds to possible and possibilities. And finally, I ask the leaders of the region, political and religious, Israeli and Palestinian, Jewish and Christian and Muslim, to join us in the noble quest for lasting peace. Thank you. God bless you. God bless Israel. God bless the Palestinians. And God bless the United States. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So in that clip, you can clearly hear something's going on. The White House has said that he has dry mouth. I don't really give a shit what the reason is. If he has dry mouth, he has dry mouth. If his dinners are falling out, his dentures are falling out. It's not a big deal either way.
It's something that happens in life.
I want to compliment the president.
Right.
Which you know that I don't normally like to do.
No.
That's not something that I'm usually a fan of. Incredible bearing.
Yeah.
Military type bearing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was fucking up. He had to have known that he sounded ridiculous.
Yeah, and then that's going on in his head. That's probably just eating away at him like, oh my gosh, my dentures are falling out and I still have to talk.
But that's an important speech when you're talking about Middle East stuff with anything going on with Jerusalem when you're dealing with the U.S. Embassy and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That's a political hot button if there ever was one.
Mm-hmm.
It affects your relations around the world, literally around the world, especially the 1040 window in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. It really affects everything. And he powered through the mistake, confidently delivered the last lines, and then just ended it how he normally would without even acknowledging the fact that something was going on.
He had to, because if he did, if he moved away or if he said excuse me or did anything – he would have been ripped limb from limb for that. So kudos to him for maintaining that bearing. And you likened it to standing before an NCO board. And,
yeah.
And what would that be like?
So whenever you're standing before a board, like I think I've mentioned on the show before that I was meritorious promoted to staff sergeant. In staff sergeant, you don't really go through a lot of boards. But boards that I had done before where you're like NCO of the quarter, you walk in confidently.
Mm-hmm.
Our social media extraordinaire, Kate, posted a video on Instagram this week on Zero Block 30.
That's great.
Of a cow basically kicking open the door.
Yep.
Well, whenever you're a junior Marine, a junior soldier, I'm sure it's the same across the branches, you're told to walk into the room with authority, slam the door behind you. Like, you want to make the people on the board, sitting on the board, jump because you want to enter the room with authority, with
mm-hmm.
command. They ask you a series of questions. Like, for Marines, they ask you a series of history questions, like, who is the only Marine awarded 5 Navy Crosses? You answer Staff Sergeant or Gunnery Sergeant or First Sergeant, the only Marine, you repeat back the answer, the only Marine awarded the 5 Navy Crosses is Chesty Puller, and then you move on to the next one. Well, if you fuck up, they don't want you to say, oh, gosh, want you to answer your fuck up with authority, with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask me, where do you work, Staff Sergeant Chaps, if I was like, I work at Huffington Post. They want you to say, I work at Huffington Post, even though they know I work for Barstool.
Right.
They want my fuck-up to be confident.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to fuck up confidently, and that's what President Trump did this week.
Yeah, and that's
he really
tough.
Went through. Like, I think that was a pretty good moment for him. The only thing that I can imagine that would be worse for President Trump than his teeth messing up would be what?
I'm not really sure.
Maybe his hair.
I was going to say.
His hair messing
up. I was going to say
and
his hair,
if your hair is messing up, you might want to get with our friends at Hims. Hims, thanks to science, baldness is optional. You don't have to lose your hair. You can keep your hair in spite of your genetics. For Hims is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin loss, sexual wellness for men. It's FDA approved with well-known genetic equivalent to the name brand prescriptions that help you keep your hair. It's not an herbal supplement. It's not a prescription or anything like that. To get this, our listeners get a free trial month of everything you need to keep your hair for just $5 today. Right now, while supplies last, see the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or the pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/zero. That's Foxtrot, Oscar, Romeo, Hotel, India, Mike, Sierra.com/Zulu, Echo, Romeo, Oscar. 4hims/zero. Now we are going to welcome our good friends from Part of My Take. Here's the fellas. Well, now on Zero Block 30, we have a couple of our good, good friends. Well, one really good friend, one okay friend. Really good friend in PFT.
Hey, Chaps,
kind
how's it going?
Kind of okay friend in.
Hey, Chaps, I was actually going to ask you real quick, what's worse, getting shot or me having to do this podcast with hiccups?
You.
I've got a cough.
Okay.
So yeah, your cough is worse.
Hey,
don't
my cough.
Hey, that's stolen valor on my hiccups, bro.
I haven't even heard your hiccups.
I've been.
I think your hiccups are fake.
I think they're gone.
I've been putting
hiccups.
The show on my back because we don't leave a guy behind, so we pick each other up.
Wow.
I have the hiccups.
You know what I tell Big Cat? The only piece of military knowledge that I know, it's how I'm going to lean right up against you. You lean up right back against me. So neither one of us has to sleep with our heads in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Forrest Gump and
there
Bubba.
We go.
I was going to say, who said that?
I've also been playing a lot of Call of Duty, so
That is true. What have you been learning about tactics? What do you think your best tactic is?
Okay,
in college?
So my I'll tell you what my worst is because I stink.
Getting shot, you son
well,
of a bitch.
No, I always crouch in windows, but no, I use the shotgun and I just try to like run up on people.
Yeah,
and I
it's probably not the best
I
idea.
I get shot like while I'm running up on everyone.
What does that hold in that game? Seven?
What do you mean?
Rounds? How many rounds?
Seven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that a tactical
I
term?
Usually only get one
rounds?
Off before
yeah.
I get killed.
Yeah, rounds, bullets.
Okay.
You say bullets and gun hardos are like, oh, it's actually a round. Shut up, dude. It's
and
then
I try to be a sniper, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, that's what I always do in the games, uh-huh. too. I'm always like, I'm going to crawl through these woods and piss myself.
Yeah, and then just snipe some fucking
Well, you'd
knives.
Be good as a sniper
yeah.
of the pissing yourself
Yeah,
aspect.
Exactly. I just lay there.
I got a question for you guys, because before I came here, I was watching TV, and there was a commercial on. It was for like a flashlight. Mm-hmm. And the guy kept referring to it as a tactical flashlight. Mm-hmm. What is the word tactical? Can I just put the word tactical in front of anything?
Yeah. Basically. Just I mean, about, tactical yeah. flashlight means okay. it's usually small. It'll have like a lot of looms. Like it'll be very bright.
It's a small, bright
time.
Flashlight.
It's like the
small
one to, it's to find your, like, where Dick. You put the key into your car.
And you can put different okay. kind yeah. of lenses on it where you can see it better with like night vision goggles or things like that.
Or if you're trying okay. to maintain light discipline, you might have like a red lens.
Light discipline.
Oh.
Yeah. I do try
I have
to maintain light
great light
discipline.
Light
you know
discipline.
About me. I do
I
try to maintain.
I always knew BFD is a big light discipline
big time.
Guy.
Huge,
big
huge,
time.
Yeah. The color rush is actually the opposite of light discipline.
True.
It's like
too much light.
Yeah, too much light almost.
Except for when they wear all black, which is all the light.
Ooh.
But so is all. So is white. White's also the combination of all colors.
Speaking of that, yeah, nice little segue, the Army jerseys. I love them. They've been getting a lot of hate.
From who? Because I've heard nothing but good things.
I mean, Chaps,
well,
Dave.
What does Chaps know?
Lots.
all white jerseys make you faster.
And they make you look bigger.
Is that
yeah.
true?
Yeah.
Now
science. I was wearing all white today. That's a bad look for me.
I but if they go
I
snow, I, there's,
yeah,
there
snows,
might be snow.
Is
in
it
going to
snow?
It might.
If fuck
it,
yes.
I
hope
think
it
that
does.
Changes the entire dynamic of the game. If Army is wearing all white and it
wait,
snows,
wait.
I feel like the advantage goes to Army.
So you're saying that if you wear all white, you look bigger?
Yes.
Yes.
Why do bodybuilders like get tanned before they go into competition?
You look more detailed if
yeah,
you have tanned.
Yeah, more definition.
Just sharpen their lines.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start wearing white condoms.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that'd
you
be
wear
a huge
condom? Man card.
Man card.
That'd be a huge tactical advantage uh-huh. if it starts snowing.
So we primarily brought you guys in because you're the number one sports podcast in the world. Pardon my take.
Tactical sports podcast.
Not to brag.
Yeah, and you're the first ever anti-Nazi.
Anti-Nazi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we disavowed before any other podcast.
Which I'm
kind of
disappointed that
you guys had
did
a shot.
We beat
you
before
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Some of y'all criticize us for being late to the game.
I would say that the United States military is kind of grandfathered in on being anti-Nazi.
Yeah. True. Yeah. You guys have a firm anti-Nazi stance dating back to
like
the 40s.
A lot of anti-Nazi heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. But we wanted to get into some prop bets
okay.
with you fellas.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Who you got first? Let's do who
we
you got.
We can do some
first.
Who you got.
Who's mans?
We got some notable.
Who's mans is this? Yeah.
We got some notable alumni from both Army and Navy, and we want to pit them against one another and ask you guys who you got.
You pick the Army grad, I'll pick the Navy grad.
All right. First up, Dwight Eisenhower versus
David Robinson.
Ooh,
the Admiral.
The Admiral's going to win that one. Yeah, because Dwight Eisenhower's dead.
Are we just saying, like, is this a slam dunk contest, or is this, like, leading a war?
Well,
is this leading a land
part
war?
Of the
although,
yeah.
although Dwight Eisenhower actually invented fake news with the
propaganda?
Yeah, no, with the newspaper headline.
That was Dewey defeats Truman.
Oh, yeah, that's close. Truman. Yeah, same thing.
Same guy.
Same guy.
History major from Wisconsin.
Yeah,
Dan
same
Katz.
Major. Same thing.
Shit, I would have to go with, I got to go with David Robinson.
Although Ike is a great nickname.
Right, it is. But here's the thing. You never go against a guy who's 7 feet tall in anything.
That's
that
fair.
Guy wins.
Well,
that's just it.
No, what about a limbo contest?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Or golf.
Kind of stumped you on that one.
Yeah. Never met a good 7 foot golfer.
Uh-huh. Or, as far as like a gymnast goes, being 7 feet would suck.
Mm-hmm.
You would just
mm-hmm.
hit your feet on the bars.
Or who can sleep in the smallest bed contest.
Or a jockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yep.
David Robinson
would
be a
race car, IndyCar. I probably wouldn't go with David Robinson. Get his head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Those streets of Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who's next?
All right, I'll go with Coach K.
Boo.
I'm going to go
loss, yeah. Who you could just pick your weakest person here. Because that
Ross Perot.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, Ross Perot would kick the shit out of
Ross Perot all day, every day over Coach K.
You hear that giant sucking sound south of the border? That's all the recruits that Coach K is illegally stealing from other people.
Fuck Coach K.
All right. George Patton.
Mm. Patton, okay.
Badass.
Football guy.
Roger Staubach.
I see what you did there.
Something I didn't know about Staubach.
I'll go first next time because I'm able to one-up you easily.
Yeah, he is the richest former NFL player in the world.
Big real estate guy.
Yeah. Huge real estate. He's been unbelievably successful post-football.
Yep.
Who?
Roger Staubach. And you got to consider, too, like when he got done playing or when he played, they didn't have these ridiculous contracts the way they do now. So he made all of his money afterwards.
On name alone.
Yeah.
But he also always looks like he got electrically shocked.
Yes, he does. He's not a good-looking dude.
No.
I would guess he probably sold some cocaine somewhere in there to get his seed money for that real estate.
Yeah.
I mean,
so everyone's empire starts with a little, skeleton.
Navy officers
behind every great fortune is a great crime.
Right. When there's blood in the streets, buy real estate.
There's blood in the sheets.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go next.
Wait, we didn't decide that one.
Oh, you didn't decide.
No, we did. Was Coach K Law? Oh, no, that's the last
Staubach
one.
Or who?
Patton.
I'm going Patton. You can't fucking beat Patton.
Because he had that big flag that he said.
You just can't beat Patton.
There's nothing
Staubach
didn't draw enough
flags. He had a whole movie made about it.
Staubach,
war compliment notwithstanding, standing in front of the flag's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Staubach invented the Hail Mary, though.
Yeah.
So there's that. I'm going to go with...
Cordell Stewart perfected it.
That's true. I'm going to go with Patton.
Yeah.
Patton.
Unanimous.
Right. Okay. Next up, I'm going to go first this time. Jimmy Carter.
Oh, old sweater wearing Jimmy.
Old peanut
Uncle
face
Jimmy,
ass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Old peanut face. I
fucking love peanuts.
Oldest president still alive. Fun fact.
Yeah. It's true. He's never going to die.
I love when presidents die and everyone's like, oh, man. It's like, wait, that guy was still alive?
The fact that HW is still alive is mild.
Yeah, I mean, when Jimmy Carter died, everyone's going to be like, wait, what? Oh, he's
alive?
HW's
still alive and kicking, grabbing
alive
butts.
Yeah.
What's crazy is that Jimmy Carter is the one president that when he dies, if he got put on money, everybody on either side of the aisle will be like, that's a bit fucked
maybe
up.
Not.
Maybe we don't put, Jimmy Carter's actually a great dude. He does, a lot of shit-building houses. But still, when he dies, people are going to be like, it's understood. He's not going to be on any dollar bills.
He's one that everybody just said that he's the worst president of all time for so long that everybody just why is he bad? And you're like, I don't really, something about Iran.
People had to wait in line for gas for too long. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
He's basically a hurricane.
It's like, if you're a president, you make people wait in line, they remember.
Uh-huh.
All right, up against, and I'll go with this one just because of our age. I think this would be near and dear to our hearts. This guy's name is Jim Kimsey, founder of America Online. So, growing up in the internet
age. AOL?
Yeah.
So
calls it America Online?
Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody who's listening. But AOL, he founded AOL.
So he invented chat rooms.
Yes, he invented chat rooms.
ASL.
Cyber.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with him.
Uh-huh. I don't care who he's going up with. I saw a lot of porn because of that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That guy's the world's biggest porn dealer.
Yeah.
All right, I'll start. Norman Schwarzkopf, Stormin' Norman.
Montel Williams.
Wow.
Oh, fuck. I'm going Montel.
Montel
sure.
In his touring diabetes van. Yeah.
That is an easy one.
Wait, can I substitute? Can I say Chris Farley as Norman Schwarzkopf?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes it a little different. What we actually had a debate, embrace debate. What's his name?
Kevin Farley.
Kevin
Farley
had a better career than Chris Farley because Chris Farley was a flash in the pan. He was like Jeremy Lin.
Mm-hmm.
The longevity of your career matters.
It does.
Kevin Farley's been doing it for 25 years now.
He's a compiler, though. Yeah. He's just a compiler. He's not that great.
It's like Gale Sayers versus Mike Allstott.
How many of your listeners are going to be offended by everything we say?
Probably zero.
Okay. Blog 30.
There it is.
You like that?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think we'll move on to some prop bets. You have
Let's
any more that
it.
You want to go to? The rest of them are super military guys.
The rest are pretty much military.
Give me the next Navy guy. One more Navy guy.
Let's go with Chester Nimitz.
Versus Connor.
Do you want a military guy?
No, it's versus you.
Oh, versus me. Oh, yeah, versus
I'm going
Chester
Nimitz.
Gotta go Chester.
Versus Captain Connor.
They have a big fucking battleship after him, right?
This is true.
Yeah.
It's a Nimitz class.
See?
Yeah.
Nimitz here we go.
Yeah.
What have you done, Connor?
Co-host Zero Block 30.
Co-host Zero Block 30. That's about it.
What's a Nimitz class?
It's a type of ship. That I'm not at.
It's like the mid. It's not the biggest one, right? It's like the middle one that you sink
really
in battleship.
Which is the spot you want to be. You don't want to be the biggest dick that somebody's ever fucked.
But I've always wondered.
You can step back.
Right. Do your opponents, or other adversaries, in foreign countries, do they call your classes the same thing that you call it?
No, I think they just call them big fucking ships.
Yeah. Because you could really troll North Korea if you're like. This ship is called Jong-un's tiny dick class.
Yeah,
you'd have to say it.
Yeah,
otherwise he's not using the right nomenclature.
It'd be like that Hitler video that everybody posts, where he adjusts the glasses much.
They called it what?
They sat Tony Romo. Hitler reacts to Romo being benched.
Yeah,
classic.
All right, we'll go into some prop bets. Prop bet time.
Hitler reacts to part of my take disavowing Nazis.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
That would be a hot one.
That would be.
Yeah.
The number of times that Captain Cons runs on the field was put at 0.5.
Okay, so we went. I went with you guys last year to the game, and he broke that within like the first 2 seconds of the game. So I'm going to take the over again. There's no way that Connor's not going to get on the field at least once.
Yeah, I think he's going on
the field. By the way, PFT, he has like full field passes. So when we say on the field, it's not
between
like a streaker. It's like a pissed off coach that's like just jumping on and being like, hey.
In the run of play.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, last year we were at the game and Navy broke off a really big run and then we forced a fumble and Army recovered the fumble. So naturally, I was very excited. I'm a very excitable fan.
Did you do the Mike Tomlin thing where you stepped on to make him force the fumble?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't go that far. Okay. But
let me tell you.
But I was far enough that they were concerned about
it. Let me tell you something. Army-Navy, like, one of the coolest experiences I've ever been to. Watching Army-Navy on the sideline, not so much. You basically can't see anything.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, so those guys just ran into that pile. All right.
Yeah,
because
at least when you watch a
do it again. Yeah.
At least when
you
watch
see,
a
like,
game,
the triple option.
Or the ball, like, goes in the air every now
and
then.
I was just watching, like, the action, like, 50 yards away, and they just all were kind of, like, running in a pile, you know, 11 guys in the box. And it was fun.
But it does make the game go by so fast.
Yes, it does.
The games do fly.
My favorite box scores are the Army ones where it's, like, they run the ball 54 times, and their quarterback is 0-for-1 with one interception.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, no, and the best part about that is then you look even deeper, and it's like they were actually in a couple third and 15s where they chose to run.
Yeah.
All right, big-time question. How many times does Trump tweet about nobody's kneeling during the game?
At least once. You know what? I'm impressed. Trump might do it twice because he learned how to thread.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. But now that there's 280 characters, he probably doesn't need that thread.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a tough one. I'm going to go one.
Okay. Minutes after kickoff, POTUS declares war on Belgium for stealing the idea of waffles on the Founding Fathers. 7.5. I should have pre-read that one. That was a terrible question.
No, you don't know how to read.
Wait, he stole waffles from Belgium?
Who did? We did?
Ooh. He did, yeah.
You guys ever fuck with a stroopwafel?
We'll
yeah, yeah,
we'll
just
cut
had that one.
I just had a shipment set.
Yeah, that's right. I thought I saw you eating with stroopwafels. Yeah. So good.
Great. So delicious.
My friend
came
back from Amsterdam with a whole crate of those. God damn.
Mm. Over, under, total amount of passes set at 20.
Under.
Under.
What?
Under.
Under. 20 is ridiculous.
What's the submarine class? Nebbets class submarine. Yeah. I'm going under.
The over, under should be set at like 7.5.
Yeah, and I would take the over.
I take the over there. I think Navy's going to pass like 6 or 7 times. Right. They have a guy that actually can throw.
Yeah, AB's not bad. He throws the ball pretty well. He's actually thrown the ball a few times this year where I was like, wow, that's a really good throw.
Yeah, me too. I watched a Navy game. I watched a few Navy games because I always bet their overs. And he's like, oh, fuck.
I actually really like this one. Over under the amount of aircraft used for the flyover.
Ooh. I'm going to go with 4.5.
I'll take the over.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually helicopters, and they do the jets, then they do like another like a big 52 bomber.
And I think president's already been confirmed to go. So I think whenever the president's there, they have even more stuff.
Because
he likes the
noise.
He likes loud noises and bright lights. Yeah.
I had a hot take. I want you guys to weigh in. I actually think the bald eagle flying in is cooler than the actual planes.
Wow.
Is there any
chance? I know, it's a little hot take, fucking bald eagle, that is America.
I think it's harder to train a bald eagle than it is a pilot.
I think you're probably right. Is there any chance that you could get
that's probably true. I was going to make a Roy Halladay joke, but it's probably too soon.
Can you train 4 bald eagles to fly in formation with like
that
one
would
missing?
Be amazing.
That would be hot shit.
Yeah, every time I see one of the, like, when there's been a lot of news going on with the Air Force trying to use Falcons to take down
drones.
Like they're gonna
just fly into
ISIS,
drones.
Yeah, because ISIS is using a lot of drones to drop like munitions and shit on people, so they want to train these Falcons to go. If I would have to do it over again, instead of being a dog handler, if they told me that being a falconist or like being involved with falconry,
falconry.
Is it falconist or falconer?
Falconry. It's falconry is the art,
right?
Falconist is the guy.
No, I think it's a falconer.
Yeah. Is it?
I think falconist sounds better.
Falconist.
It does.
Is
it sounds
cool.
More technical. Yeah. Falconer is just like a guy that found a bird.
Yeah, why wouldn't
like,
we just get more? Why don't we just get more drones to beat their drones?
That's what I was.
That's called. That's called the Obama presidency.
Yeah, I think that you would have better, like, if weapons if you could attach it to it. Like, I would think that all you really need is just to have. Like we talked about it before, it was one of the things that I said that if we could have military technology in our everyday life.
Oh yeah.
I would use what's called a chameleon that takes out any type of electronics in the area.
Oh,
you think
blocks
that you could
it.
Just
yeah.
shoot that like from around the cities and be like
Ocean's
I also feel like ISIS buys their drones like at Walmart.
No, they definitely get them off of Amazon.
Amazon, yeah.
Bezos is making a shit ton of money.
Maybe Amazon should like limit drone shipments to Afghanistan.
That's the reason why they made all these different like knockoff GoPros, because all the ISIS guys are like, we really can't afford these $300 GoPros.
Jeez. Why don't instead we put we put a person in a drone? We like build the drone like a little bit bigger than theirs.
So it's like an airplane.
Yeah.
So
it's a jet.
And then you put a guy in it, and then they build their drones bigger, and so they have a guy in their jet too. And then they just have the jets fight each other.
Ooh, and then maybe we have something up in the orbit that's like a huge drone that can control everything.
Yeah, that sounds good too.
Maybe even our TVs.
I think it's time we get you two down to the Pentagon.
Yeah, we got some ideas.
I've got a question. jumping back to the quarterbacks from Navy, what's going on with that? Was it Keenan Robinson?
Keenan Reynolds.
One of the R's. Yeah,
he almost showed up to Heisman in a helicopter. People forget that.
Mm-hmm. Is he still playing? He was on the Ravens, right?
Yeah, he's on the Ravens practice squad, I think, now.
Okay. Yeah. What do you guys think about that? It seems like every year there's one good player that's coming out of one of the service academies, and they wonder if they're going to be drafted or if they're going to like be forced to like serve, you know, what, 3 or 4 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about that? You think they should let them like play in the NFL?
They actually just went and revisited that whole thing, and they're making everybody go and have their service. And I think it's actually good. Connor disagrees at certain points like about it. But one of the most successful academy players in the NFL now, he's on the show later, is Alejandro Villanueva, like left tackle for the Steelers.
And he served for how long?
He did 3 combat tours.
5 years.
Yeah. Like, Bronze Star recipient.
But don't you think if they let like kids skip their service and go play in the NFL, that would just make the actual like academy stronger? Like being like,
I don't think that you really
you would have a lot of blowback from a lot of the graduates, and people wouldn't be too thrilled.
They should
about
make
that.
What Mike Greenberg's dumb rules. They should give one a year each academy.
I think
they got to wrestle for it.
What about one every 5 years?
No, I want one a year, and they got to wrestle XFL style. Who
I don't
gets
hate
the ball?
That. I don't hate
and
that.
And
then
idea. They can be in the NFL.
They just throw
you
one
know
ball
where they
after
do
the
it?
Army Navy game. Yeah, they do the whoever's eligible for the draft.
It should be the best singer.
Yeah.
So you take. I think you take one person, the top athlete from each one of the major academies. Make them fight in Barstool Sports Rough and Rowdy.
Yeah, there we go, Rough and Rowdy 2.
And then whoever wins Rough and Rowdy 2
rough and rowdy
gets to go to the NFL.
There will be blood. Tax for Sank.
There we go. Too. So I guess just a final thing here. What do you guys – what predictions for the game?
I'm betting on Army. Mm-hmm. I bet on Army a bunch this year, and I won a lot of money. So I even had them that game when they were – they went for two. To to avoid overtime.
Yeah.
Because I had Army like plus 6.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm fucked. And so I like their coach. Any coach that's like, fuck this, we're not playing overtime, we're going for two in regulation, that's my guy. And the locker room thing that he does is so awesome.
I will fight thing?
Yeah, and when I get down.
So that's not something he does every game. That was just spur of the moment
that
game.
What is it again? It's I will fight.
Oh, my gosh. He said, I will fight till I can't fight no more, and then I'll lay me down and bleed away.
Yeah, that's where
what
I would
stop.
Do. That's where I would sleep.
Yeah, I'm
going to
lay down, take
a nap. Yeah, I'm done. When he's like, and then I'll get back up, I'm like, no, coach.
I'm going to lay down and bleed away.
When I lay down, I'm done.
I actually like that part, and it brings it back home. It's like, okay,
yeah,
these are just guys like me and you.
Yeah, we could just lay down. Mm-hmm.
We're not
half,
so different.
Half soldiers.
We're not so different, you and I. I can get injured, too.
It's kind of cool, but Doug Maroney eats bologna sandwiches.
Yeah, spoiled bologna. Yeah, what
I
do you
like
got
that.
For the game?
Oh, I'm going to take Army by a touchdown. So
alternate line.
I am learning from my mistake.
Yeah.
Last year, I took Navy in the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter,
the first
the full game.
The first time Army beat them in like two seconds.
So really fucked that one up. So I'm
Army's the underdog.
Overcorrecting.
A lot of people don't remember. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Army hadn't won since this guy enrolled until last year.
Yeah. Wow.
Curse of cons. Yeah.
I actually broke the curse.
Yeah, true.
It's a 0-30 curse breaker.
Slash I did, too, because I went. That was the first one
Thank
I ever
you,
went
Dan.
To.
Yeah,
Thank
Army's
you.
1-0 since I've been to the game.
All right, well, we appreciate you guys coming on. We look forward to your airport reviews. That should start
Thank
out
you.
Pretty
yes,
soon.
Coming soon. Oh, we should do one on an aircraft carrier. The best type of airport.
Fuck, we're not going to do an airport review.
What?
We'll do one in
West Virginia.
We're not, because we don't have time.
We're flying into Roanoke. Roanoke Airport Review.
Okay.
I'm sure it's nice.
All right, there we go. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
If you're struggling to find a perfect gift for a dude with a dick or a female with some tits, get the Omaha Steaks. You will not regret it. Let me tell you about the Omaha Steaks, because, my friends, you are going to get blown away. For the low, 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 low price of $49.99, you can get a family gift pack. A family gift pack, because this is a family-friendly show. You can get that with the promo code ZERO. With that, you're going to get 500 gourmet gift ideas, great steak experiences at home, and the most flavor and tender aged beef of all time. My friends, that package comes with 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha steak seasoning packets, plus you get 4 additional kielbasa sausages for absolutely free. You do that by going to omahasteaks.com, enter the promo code ZERO in the search bar, and you get a 75% savings. It's guaranteed to be the gift that's a hit this holiday season. But we want to go, since we are going to be in Philly this weekend for the Army-Navy game, as we have said probably 30 times on the podcast now, we brought in a very special correspondent that we have from Philly's mean streets. We'd like to welcome in, formerly of ESPN, Angelo Palantonio. Angelo, welcome to the show.
Yo, thank you for having me on. I want to, like, just say how much I appreciate yous and, like, shout out to troops, like, everywhere.
Wow. Thank you. We appreciate the shout out, especially for the troops that are in and around the game at Navy, Army. So, you are a Philly guy. How excited is the city right
now? Philadelphia is on fire right now. Few things do we care about as much as the Army-Navy game. I'll tell you two of them. That slices at Lorenzo's, they're as big as your fucking face. I'll tell you that much right now. And a cheesesteak from Ishka Bibbles down on South Street. But apart from those two things, the Army-Navy game is it in Philadelphia.
What are you hearing right now in the streets of Philly? What's going on right there, right now for the game?
Well, people are fired up right now. You got a lot of cadets down there already pounding a couple, you know, a couple midshipmen down there knocking back a couple Yingling traditional lagers, as we are wont to do down in Philly. It's going to be an intense atmosphere. I can guarantee you that. Bundle up. It's looking fucking chilly.
Now, the fellas that are pushing the betting lines, what are they saying about the game?
Well, they're saying, you know what? Hammer it. It doesn't matter which side, because all this game's about is a good time. So as long as you got a little skittish riding on the line, you know that you're about to enjoy yourself and hopefully bring home a win. But I pound it over or the under. Those are my two tips.
Okay. Over or the under.
Yeah, either one.
Angelo, you know, Philadelphia has hosted the Army-Navy game more than any other city. Do you have any special memories from any Army-Navy games past?
Well, my great uncle used to take me down to the games, actually, when they were at Old Veterans Stadium. You know, veterans is actually a term for someone that served in the services. So, yes. Kind of pertains to Hughes' show. But we used to go down Veterans Stadium, and back in that time, there wasn't even any buildings that were taller than Billy Penn's hat. We go down, and My great uncle would slide in there with a couple Bud Heavies tucked into his Hanes, and you know, he'd pass around a couple for the 700 level. We'd have a good time.
I think I heard reports that President Trump might show up to the game. How do you think Philadelphia will receive the president?
I'll tell you what the fuck we're going to be doing. We're going to be standing the fuck up, and we're going to be saluting, because at the end of the day, we're going to show respect to the commander-in-chief at the time of celebration.
Now, do you think any of the players will kneel during the national anthem at this game?
Yo, I didn't even think of that. That would be fucking crazy, dude. I hope nothing happens to nobody. That's all I gotta say.
All right, Angelo. Well, thank you very much for taking the time. We appreciate your insight on the game.
And thanks for having me on. This has been Angelo Palantonio. Yes. Yippee.
Now we are going to have a representative from both service branches. We're going to have a Naval Academy grad and a West Point grad. They are going to be Joe Cardona from the Patriots, Alejandro Villanueva from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and those interviews are going to be brought to you by MyBookie. Holiday cash, you need it, and I know where to get it. MyBookie is the place to score some serious cash for your predictions. You are going to be able to bet on the Army-Navy game. There's going to be some prop bets, I almost guarantee it. Where your bet is almost important as who you are betting on. And if you want to make money betting the games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. The only site that we recommend here at Zero Block 30. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. Join MyBookie, and they will match your deposit bonus by 50%. That's pretty damn good. Use the promo code ZERO to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Air Force Academy graduate.
Wow, you're really going to do that to him?
Oh, shit.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
Joe, you got to see. He's actually
I'm actually wearing a Naval Academy shirt.
He's wearing Navy gear right now.
I don't know why I said Air Force. I was trying to think Academy. Wow. I was thinking Academy.
I think that's more insulting than if he had said you went to Army, right?
You know, we produce Marines, too. Like, you know, we have the Marines coming out. That's a little low blow.
I'm sorry. Naval Academy graduate, New England Patriot, Joe Cardona. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. I know it's a big time for you. Like, you guys are focusing on the playoffs like you do every fucking year. But we wanted to take some time out of your busy schedule to talk a little Army-Navy. Who do you think?
Absolutely.
Last year, big letdown. I think you were a guy that was definitely saying that Navy was going to pull off the 15th straight. You ended up disappointed. What are you looking forward to in this game?
So looking forward to in this rivalry this time around, I would say this is going to be one of those all-time epic games. I mean, two good, solid teams. A lot of big wins. You look at what Army did against Air Force. You look at what Navy did against Air Force. So this game's for it all. It's for the Commander in Chief's Trophy. It's a big, huge game. And like I said, between two really good teams, it's going to be a hard fought battle. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, first time since 2012, the Commander in Chief's is on the line, which is always a nice treat. A little added something extra. Navy's, I don't know, Joe. Navy's kind of had a rough back end of their season. What can you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, looking at it from an outsider, you start off so hot in a lot of, close emotional games, and they pulled off, those five straight to start out, sniffed the top 25 for a second there. But, when you go through a season, and you're playing close games, you're bound to lose a couple of them too.
Mm.
But you have the most important ones, and not to mention we'll say the AAC, the conference was pretty strong this year. You see what UCF and Memphis did. So they played good competition all year. They're in Annapolis, and Army did as well. But overall, it's just, you can throw the records out the window in so many ways for this game.
Yeah, absolutely, because I think the records were kind of reversed last year, and obviously we saw how that panned out. Did you have a chance at all to watch the Showtime series following your guys all year?
Yeah, I watched a few of the episodes. It was a good insight on what it's like there, and, everything kind of changes year to year in a lot of ways. As any football team does. I think it's good to see, I'm sure for every Academy football player, at least, that, that story is being told, what it's really like to play there.
Yeah, we actually have Ross Greenberg, who produced the show, coming on later on in this show. So we're pretty excited about that, too. Earlier this season with the Pats, though, you got to actually practice at the Air Force Academy for about a week. What was that like going into the belly of the enemy?
Being at Air Force was a really cool experience. I mean, even for a Navy guy, I mean, there's definitely a very heated rivalry between Air Force and both of the other service academy teams. I would say it's on par with Army Navy in a lot of ways, So there was a little bit of that the bad taste in your mouth going into Colorado Springs. But those guys, their whole athletic department, everybody was great. Sorry about that. Everybody was great. And, they really put on, they're great hosts. We had flyovers like every day at practice. I mean, their jump team, jumped out of planes for us, and it was something that was really cool. They really opened up the academy to all the guys on the team, and bridging that gap between the civilian world and the military world. I think it opened a lot of eyes for my teammates what life is like in the military.
Well, one last note before we let you go: what do you got for the score?
what I got for the score. I got 2017. You know, we're going to go in favor of the alma mater. So 20-17 Navy. I think special teams are going to play a huge role in this. Selfishly, as a snapper, I think our special teams unit down there at Navy is going to have a big game. But overall, like I said, it's going to be one of those tooth and nail games, down to the very last play, or who knows, maybe a little bit of overtime. But overall, I think this is going to be one of those, you know, Army-Navy's for the books.
Yeah, I think Coach Munkin, Army's head coach, described it best. He said, we're going to line up, punch each other for 5 or 6 seconds, and then we're going to line up and punch each other for 5 or 6 seconds again, and we're just going to do that all day. It's going to be a slugfest. So I would agree with you that it's going to be a close game, as much as I would rather just blow you guys out. But nonetheless, it'll be a good one.
You know, we're going to see, you know, this next generation of young leaders, you know, really come through and, you know, show how tough they are. You know, that's really what this game's about. So I'm looking forward to it. I know you guys are too. You know, have fun for me down there in Philly. That's for sure.
Hell yeah. And this is the first time that I've ever been able to say this to you. Hopefully my Jaguars meet up with you guys in the playoffs. That would be a great little AFC championship game. Little New England Patriots, Jacksonville Jaguars action.
That would be a, you know, we got to get there first. But we'll see what happens.
All right, Joe, we appreciate your time, man. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Beat Navy.
Yeah, beat Army.
All right, Joe. Thanks, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks. Appreciate you coming on. No notice whatsoever. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries at all.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Yep, you guys too.
Later.
We always have Army representation. We always have West Point representation with Connor and his bitch ass, but we wanted to bring in another one. Our guest that we've had on a couple times before, Alejandro Villanueva from your Pittsburgh Steelers, your AFC Central leading Pittsburgh Steelers.
The second bitch ass. What's up, Seth?
What's up? All right, man. So you guys are having a great season, dude, except for the game that you played against my beloved Jaguars.
Yeah. No, I mean, football is a crazy sport. You know, you can never really anticipate or predict anything, and this season is one of those hard and fought you know, sort of seasons that there's going to, you know, come to an end here in a couple of weeks, and we'll see what we're made out of.
Yep, but we didn't bring you on to talk about Steelers. We brought you to talk about West Point and Navy and this weekend. I know it's always a big moment for everybody that's in the Army and the Navy, especially the guys who played in the game. So we wanted to see what are some of your thoughts. What do you think is going to happen? You think that Navy's going to make it, or Army's going to make it two in a row this year?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I'm not going to cheer for Navy this time. I'm always going to cheer for Army, because I obviously, you know, have a very deep connection with all the players and all the things that they, you know, the things that they have to do. But you know what? It's been a crazy sort of obviously realistic, you know, approach. I understand also what the Navy, you know, players are about to do, and so I respect them for it. I think that's the beauty of the game.
Connor can learn something
very,
from that.
It is a very good rivalry, because you know the nature of the spirit in which the players are competing and then serving together. But you know, say the Navy's been beating us for a very long time. You know, the better part of, you know, the last 15 years or so. You know, I think it's time for Army to make it even.
We've had a lot of talk, a lot of uniform talk on the show. We've had talk about if the Blue Angels uniform was better than your guys in the 10th Mountain. But I wanted to ask you about Veterans Day weekend.
You can't compare the Blue Angels with 10th Mountain. I mean, we're comparing like apples and oranges right now. I mean, 10th Mountain division, my division, are you kidding me?
Ollie, this is what I've been trying to tell people all week. You are comparing a show unit to a unit that is hard and fast, combat.
See, they weren't doing
hardened
versus verse. Like, they weren't doing the 10th Mountain versus Blue Angels.
Well, that's how people do it.
The Blue Angel pilots would even say that, yes, we are not the same as 10th Mountain. But that being said, during Veterans Day weekend, you handed out patches. What was that like going through your locker room and handing out and being able to tell some of the legacies of some of the more notable units that you got to serve with in your time in the Army?
Well, I think, so I did this last year with the offensive line, because Army football used to do that. And Connor can tell you, mm-hmm. I mean, he probably right away, he knew exactly what, you know, what we were doing. We assigned, you know, I mean, Mike Vitti was like the Lion Award. I don't even know what unit is that. But every single, you know, every player got a different patch, a different unit. So, you know, if the guys from Army Football are willing to give me, you know, enough decals, and, you know, it would be really cool if maybe, you know, because we have the Army, Marines, Air Force, and I didn't want to take any of those away. Obviously, those branches are equally as important, and obviously they do great things for our country. But just to take it a step further, you know, because obviously when you say U.S. Army, you know, really, you don't really know what you're talking about. You know, when you say 3rd Infantry Division, when you say 25th ID, you know, that gets a little bit more personalized. And so, you know, it's really fun, you know, to go around the locker room and then look at every player. Like, for example, Kim Hayward, you know, plays defensive line. He's from Georgia. That was a really easy match, his 3rd ID, and so I explained him why. Then you got, you know, obviously the leaders of the team, Ryan Shazier, who I thought was and is, you know, one of the greatest leaders that I've seen on the football field. You know, Rangers lead the way. That's an easy match. 75th Ranger Regiment and so on. And then, you know, you end up doing the whole team and everybody's coming out and asking you, like, hey, what is this unit? You know, oh, it's the Band of Brothers. Yeah, that's 101st, but that's the unit right there. So it's really cool and special.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to explain it. And I don't think that people really realize how much – obviously, I love being a Marine, but when somebody says, oh, I spent time in Okinawa, then I say, oh, what unit? And whenever we share a unit, that bond becomes even more,
right?
Like, because the Marine Corps is so huge, and the Army is even – I mean, I think it's 5 or 6 times bigger than the Marine Corps is. So whenever you get down to a specific unit, then you know that you had some of the same experiences. Like, when you meet somebody who is in 75th Ranger Battalion, whether they're 19 or whether they're 99 – you know that there's some history that you guys share together, and that's a pretty special thing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they've jumped out of airplanes. You know, they've done, you know, raids. They've done, you know, the same type of training. They've been on the same, you know, basis because they've been on the same basis for a very long time. So, yeah, so I thought it was really special. Everybody appreciated it. You know, obviously they got a lot of fame on Instagram, which is, you know, what most of, you know, the NFL's worry is all about, is giving that Instagram love.
Right. So, Ali, have you had a chance to watch much of Army season this year?
Yeah, I have. I've seen a couple games. You know, usually on Saturday if they're playing, you know, I get to watch them. And, you know, it's been really fun. I mean, I think they're playing really disciplined. They, you know, they look completely different from when you and I used to play, you know.
Right.
They actually seem to know what they're doing. I've been to West Point. I know the changes that they're doing with Buckner. They're doing a lot of changes at the academy to make the life of the football player a little bit easier, which is, you know, something necessary to be competitive at the Division I level, I thought. So I think they're doing all the right things. I'm excited for, you know, for the program in the future and obviously the Army Navy.
Right. So how do you think, in having watched games this year and watching the team, how do you think that's going to translate to the game on Saturday?
You know, the crazy thing is that I watch so much NFL football that I get too focused on just the tackle versus edge rusher position. I don't really
yeah,
care.
Yeah, sure.
At all, I mean, about the quarterback, I don't know how to evaluate any other position other than the tackle or the speed rusher. So, you know, my wife knows more about football than I do because, you know, she watches the game as a whole and she likes to, you know, see who the playmakers are and what type of, you know, type of coverages and defenses and what, you know, the analyzers or what the analysts are saying about the game. I mean, I'm so focused and wired on seeing the edge rusher that I miss out on. I mean, I don't even know if the Patriots are good. You know, the Patriots might be good, might not be good. I don't know because I'm so focused on the edge rusher.
Let's talk about how dominant you would be if we could pluck you off the Steelers and put you in at left tackle this week. If you could go to one of the academies and weigh 340 and still have your same speed and go in and run the triple option, I think you'd be dominating out there.
Well, you know what's crazy? I mean, they actually took me out of the tackle position when I was roughly the same size at the academy. Because for the triple option, that's too big. You know, you're supposed to option off the defensive end, and so you don't want to block him, essentially. You want to go around him. So, I mean,
you're too big to
go
around.
What I do now is to – yeah, so right now I just go through – I mean, I have to go at the guy. You know,
too much ass.
Triple option, you got to go around and get to the second level to make sure that, you know, the defensive end has that option of either going and tackle the quarterback or, you know, go get the pitch. You know, I haven't seen the triple option in the NFL, so I mean, I forgot a little bit about it. You
know, now we know why Big Ben doesn't run the triple option, because you're too damn
I mean,
big.
You know, it's crazy. He ran it last, well, not the triple option, but he ran the sort of an option against the Bengals. I think he took it for like 6 yards, got a first down. So
don't take
any credit away from Big Ben. Yeah.
Very nice. Well,
so what is your prediction for the game then on Saturday? We need a prediction. What do you got?
I'm going to say 21-28 Army.
All right, I like it.
Over under on the number of passes.
There's going to be Army's going to throw the ball 3 times, and Navy's going to throw the ball 10 times.
Wow, okay.
Because they were going to be trying to come back, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Good analysis.
There we go. All right, Ali. Thank you, man. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Jeff.
This part of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our friends at ZipRecruiter. When Ross Greenberg, who we have on, who works at Showtime, if he needs to get some people to work on his documentary, no matter where he's going, he can put some of those job search out for ZipRecruiter.com, and they're going to get him the right place and the right time, the right people, all that shit. In the need of great talent, which every single business is, you don't have to get lost in a huge stacks of resume to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tool. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your jobs to over 100 of the world's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter puts smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of every single employer who puts it out on ZipRecruiter gets a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter.com, it's the smartest way to hire. I would do it if I have my own business, but I don't. I work for a business who uses ZipRecruiter to find the most qualified people in production and marketing and all kinds of different areas of business. You can do that too with ZipRecruiter. And right now, our listeners can post to ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zero. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zero. Well, now on Zero Block 30, I have the privilege of welcoming Ross Greenberg. Ross has a show on Showtime. It's a season with Navy football. It airs at 10 p.m. on Saturdays, correct?
Tuesdays.
My days got messed up. I'm here on Friday. No, it's Thursday today.
Today's Thursday.
So, yeah, well, anyways, except for our bludgeoning your intro, Ross, how are you doing? Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Doing okay. Ready for this weekend.
Oh, I bet. So you've been with the team all year long. You actually got embedded with them. What, from a civilian perspective, what is that like, spending so much time at one of the academies?
Well, I think it's a treat. I mean, we have a staff of about, I'd say, 15 people in Annapolis every day since late August and even early August. And they've treated us royally. They've let us in. They've shown us what it's like to be a midshipman on campus. They've shown us, you know, what the daily lives are like, and of course, you know, the football team and how Ken Niumatalolo runs that organization, and Scott Strassmeyer, the PR person there, has just been very, very helpful. David McKinney is the one that gets us all over the yard so that we can see how the plebes worlds work and how the midshipmen go through not only schooling but also the rigors of their odd schedule and what they have to do to not only be midshipmen but also be football players.
There was a few years ago, Cardale Jones was pretty well known for saying something to the effect of, we didn't come to Ohio State to play football
or play school.
I feel like that's a little bit different whenever you go to one of the service academy. You definitely are focused on the academics, focused on what you're going to do as a whole. You said there are some odd things that you saw. What are some of the more shocking things that you've seen around the Naval Academy that's given you a greater appreciation for what the midshipmen go through?
Well, we had an offensive lineman, Barrett, who just had to pass a 30-minute 800-meter swim test, with fully clothed, which every midshipman has to do within a 4-year period. And he unfortunately didn't make the 800 meters, so he didn't pass the test. But that was typical of the kind of exercise you don't see it in Ohio State or in Alabama. We've taken quite a few players, DJ Palmore and others, Bonner and others, on boats, in tanks. So I think you're getting a full appreciation of what the military is all about. And as the players will tell you, you know, all the players have said, the mission at the end of the day is to represent our country and work for our country and honor our country rather than to play football on a Saturday. So schooling is absolutely, you know, necessary, and they have to, you know, obviously pass all their classes and go through 4 solid years. And, it, you know, that is a part of the structure of Navy. And there's no looking back. It's just, you know, you must graduate, you must get into your service assignment, and then give the Navy another, 5 years of service.
Right. So, Russ, so in previous seasons with this show, they've done Notre Dame, they've done Florida State.
Florida State.
Right. And how much did you know about the Naval Academy prior to deciding we're going to profile Navy's football team for this season?
Not much. I mean, I knew the football program, you know, was viable because Ken Niumatalolo had put together an outstanding program. Mm-hmm. We knew they weren't playing on the level of a Florida State or Notre Dame, even though they beat Notre Dame last year, by the way. But mm-hmm. but they, you know, this was the Naval Academy, and I knew that it would be very curious to go in and see what a service academy is like. And that's why Showtime, when I approached Steven Espinoza from Showtime, he immediately said yes, he and Randy Runkel. They both appreciated that we were going to give a perspective that few Americans would ever see of a service academy. And that was really the driving force behind doing the series.
Yeah, and it's super interesting, too, because I think so oftentimes you talk to people and they hear the Army-Navy game in particular, and so many people I've met in my life have said they thought that was actual people, soldiers from the Army and sailors from the Navy. They had no idea that there were schools involved in that game.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I think, you know, that game has become very big. And, you know, it is on its own weekend now, which is this coming weekend. And I think there's a real appreciation. The quality of football has obviously been raised by both academies. They are playing for the, you know, Commander-in-Chief's trophy this weekend for the first time in many years. Whoever wins it, wins it. That's a big deal. It's going to be a spectacular show. I mean, I think that, you know, these two teams are very evenly matched. They play the same offense, the triple option. It's going to be spectacular. And they've got a lot of veterans on both teams, and it's a spectacle. They call it their Super Bowl, and it is every bit as epic as the Super Bowl in many ways.
Connor and I went last year, and we were both in the end zone whenever the Army scored to basically seal the game, and it was one of the most insane sporting events that I've ever witnessed or been around, seen on TV, with the Army cadets going over. And I feel like this year is even bigger than last year because Army wants to establish their own winning streak. Navy wants to make it look like last year was a fluke, that they are still the dominant program. So it feels like this is just going to be a huge, huge weekend. Usually whenever we watch the games on TVs, they do a lot of the player profiles where they'll talk about the quarterbacks, they'll talk about the cornerbacks, they'll talk about the running backs at these schools. Tell us a story that we might not hear profiled on Saturday that you think really stands out from your year of watching Navy football.
Well, I mean, first of all, you followed the Jaren story, you know, Jasper.
Right.
And that I know for a fact that CBS is doing a very in-depth profile using a lot of the footage and a lot of the storytelling that we did over a season about Jaren's cause. And for those who don't know, he went in for a procedure, for an ablation procedure for an arrhythmia issue he had, and he came out of the hospital with a really badly damaged heart and needs a heart transplant. He's 14 years old, and he's the offensive coordinator's son. So we've been following that story very, it's been a tough story to follow because you have to give the family space. But CBS is going to do a huge story on that. But I think the Zach Abey story is fascinating. Here's a guy that started the season, 5 quick wins. He's battled back from injury. He's had a couple starts where he had to come in. He almost won the Notre Dame game, you know, and so he's been battling. I would imagine that, you know, everyone who's watched our series will look at the Malcolm Perrys and the Daryl Bonners and the Zach Abies and the Zach Martins and they'll look at him a little differently. Evan Martin, I mean. They'll look at them all a little differently when they're on the field because they'll feel as if they know them, you know, Carmona, the tight end, because we've really gotten to know all of our players. And, of course, Coach Niumatalolo will feel like your uncle on this show. So I think it's going to be a different perspective for our viewers that are sticking with us and then watching the game. And, of course, we're going to be there with, you know, 6-7 cameras, and we're going to showcase this epic battle Tuesday after it's over like you've never seen it before, the way that NFL films would cover a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that. We know that a lot of the guys that go, well, every single one of the men that go to one of the academies, they're selected to go there based on their leadership qualities. After spending time at Notre Dame and Florida State, what is your opinion on seeing so many different leaders that are going to lead men in combat or around combat areas, the type of leadership that you see in the Navy locker room, the ones that really rise to the top? Is it just another level of leadership that those student athletes have?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I think, you know, it's all of them. They're all leaders. And so when you get a Bonner or a DJ Palmer who were actually picked as captains, they're on a whole nother level. But the fact is that each one of those men that play for that football team are leaders and are going to be destined to be leading, you know, troops on the ground or in the air or on the sea. So, I mean, these are natural born leaders. And when we went to their homes, you know, we visited a lot of their homes and parents and stuff, and it was almost like they were destined to go there from a young age. Most of them knew that they wanted to go into the military, and you know, it was quite a prideful group that we connected ourselves with. You know, the parents were so proud of their sons and nervous for them, but still very proud that they had done what they had accomplished.
And it's almost like you want to put into perspective for the audience that these aren't just young men who are out there playing football. These people, a lot of them, 9 months from now, they could be on the ground in a combat zone. Like, they go from playing in a football game in front of a national stage that people love to watch every single year, and it feels like Army-Navy really feels like, no matter what their records are, it's the beginning of bowl season for college football.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you have to kind of take yourself back and take a moment and respect these men. I mean, they're not in it to play pro football. None of them will play pro football. They'll hang up their cleats after their bowl games.
Put on boots.
And they'll put on their boots and they'll go to their service assignments. But when we showed, you know, their service assignments, you saw the anxiousness and the pride and the kind of the, you know, they were very, very apprehensive, but they were all, but not really apprehensive. They were looking forward to it, their service. Mm-hmm. You know, they worked 4 hard years to get to their service. And that's the beauty of these guys.
So, from a documentary filmmaking perspective, though, you talked about how Navy started out real hot, 5-0, and then they kind of fell on some hard times, having lost 5 of the last 6. From a filmmaking perspective, is that something you would hope for, or would you rather them win every game? Or what is your thought process going into the season?
No, you always want a mix of thrill of victory, agony of defeat, mm-hmm. but you know, I mean, would we have rather they not lost as many? Sure. But you know what? You're given the hand you're dealt. You deal with the story and you flow with it. And, you know, they were so accommodating and accepting of us, and we became like family to them, that it was okay that they were losing. And, you know, their losses were not by much, and they fought hard against Notre Dame. So, you know, they almost won that game mm-hmm. and surprised the world. But, you know, I would say that, you know, that was a nice ride of the first 5 games. But winning and losing, you know, is important, but it's not the most important thing that these guys will take away from their experience at Navy.
Sure.
Would Nate Mottolillo never like to lose a game? Sure. But
right.
He realizes that he doesn't have the ability to recruit the Alabama, you know, group or the Florida State group. He knows what he has on the field, and, you know, he puts the best product he can and on the field, and that's exactly what they did. But I think, you know, 6-5 ain't bad, and this is the game, you know. You know, it's not as if you could lose every game and still say that Army Navy's all that matters, and if you win that, that's all you have to do. That's not Niamh Talolo's point of view. But clearly, when you're 6-5 and the other team's 8-2 or whatever, you know, you win that game.
That makes your season.
You feel pretty good about yourself.
Right, right. Do you ever think, though, at any point during the season, do you think any of the coaches looked over you and like, ah, oh, geez, get these damn cameras out of my face?
Nope. Never mentioned it. Never had a – nope. They mm-hmm. were just accepting of it. Even at the beginning when we first met with Coach, he was just so accepting of it.
Sure.
He wanted it badly. Frankly, it's the best recruiting tool he could ever
yeah,
have.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. This is, you know, what better way to get Navy football in front of, you know, 17, 18-year-old kids?
Unbelievable. Well, he recognized that right from the beginning.
We have one last question. My co-host went, he played football, he played quarterback at West Point. I went to UTSA. I want to ask you how big of a snub it was for UTSA to win six wins and not be able to take on West Point at the Armed Forces Bowl in Dallas. Big time snub,
right? I was born in San Antonio, by the way.
Okay, okay.
But that is kind of a snub.
Right.
It would have been nice. It would have made sense because they always like to have a Texas element to that game.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and just for our podcast, it would have been great.
It would have been great for the podcast, yeah.
I think everybody knows that's the most important thing that's going on with Army football and UTSA football is our podcast for sure.
Now, Russ, I'll say this for the first time. I haven't admitted this yet, but I watched the entire season, despite the fact that it was.
You hate-watched the entire
yeah.
season.
Maybe I hate-watched it. Maybe I watched it to scout Navy. But nonetheless, I watched it, and I thought you guys did a great job of giving folks an inside look of what it is like and the difficulties of going to school at a service academy. So you should really be proud of the product
that
you put out every week.
That being said, we'll close up with who you got this week. What do you think the score is?
Oh, man, I'm not supposed to root. I can't root, man. I'm a journalist.
All right, let's not root. Let's do a prediction. Can you do a prediction? I won't even make you do that. I'll let you pick between colors, blue or white.
Yeah, I'll have to. I think Navy's going to win this game.
Okay.
I just think they're, you know, they've got a couple surprises in store that I can't really talk about. Mm. But I think they're going to win this game.
All right. Well, Ross, okay. Thank you so much for taking the time and to be with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Third and one for Army for the Black Knights, 45. Quarterback sneak, and Bradshaw has the first down. The streak is going to come to an end. Army's going to win the ball game. The Black Knights pick up a first down with a minute 46 to play, and Army's going to be able to run out the clock and defeat Navy.
Big, big show for us today. That's probably the most guests, definitely the most guests we've ever had on one
yeah.
show. We're excited. While you're listening to this, we're going to be on our way down to Philadelphia to take part in all the events. I can't wait to meet. Last year, we got to meet Medal of Honor recipients. We got to meet congresswomen. We got to meet general-level officers. We got to hear one of my favorite stories from a general-level officer that I ever heard about the
one.
Army. What
superintendent.
The superintendent.
General,
yeah.
General Cat, Lieutenant
choking
General
the
Gaslin.
Fuck out of a deer
yeah.
at the lake at West Point.
Yeah.
What a wonderful, wonderful man.
He is a fantastic man.
Yeah, he is going to be like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino
yeah,
when he grows up.
Absolutely.
Or not when he grows up, when he
yeah.
retires fully.
He actually, the way they
I'm pretty sure
the way
damn grown.
They showed the team their uniforms, they brought him into the hockey rink.
Yeah.
He came out on a snowmobile in the uniform with the football helmet on and did like a 360 at the center ice and then got off, took off his helmet, and like everybody went
and
nuts.
And junior troops love that.
Oh,
when they're,
yeah.
When their high-level leaderships get involved with that, like there's – we don't like – formation runs typically
no.
as a military group. The commandant, the sergeant major of the Marine Corps come out, it's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't mind it because you see the commandant out there, he's acting motivated, he's in his little green silky shorts like you, he's wearing his fucking go fasters and he's wearing his damn glow belt to go run. It just makes you happy. So whenever the superintendent is doing that, I'm sure that was a dope scene and everybody on the football team fucking loved it. Thank you guys for listening. We're actually not going to even do Save Round Alibis because we've basically exhausted the time that you're going to listen to us this week. We will do a recap a little bit, but next week we'll be back into it. Fresh take with Generation Kill Talk. We'll see you then.
Be Navy.
Sound the retreat.